You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, still in studio with you this second hour of three this evening. And the hits just keep on coming tonight. So, we're going to quickly glance at the NFL. Keep in mind that our guest this hour, coming up right after this segment, is none other than Dr. Virginia Abernathy, a woman, fine lady that I've known.
Stalwart of the movement.
Years and years. I've known her for almost 20 years. I have known Virginia for a long time.
She was alt-right before alt-right was cool.
Yeah, she's a lot more than that. She's just a dear friend, an intellectual giant, and she'll be on with us to talk about her new book on immigration. It's called The Vanishing American Dream, Immigration, Population, Debt, and Scarcity. And we'll talk to her all about that, and she's always a great interview. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, NFL. Okay, so the NFL's in preseason right now, Keith, as you know. And the Cleveland Browns football team, who went a sterling 1-15 last season, set actually, they were able to set a record. I guess if you can't set it on the field, you can set it on the sidelines. The Cleveland Browns set a record in their last preseason game for the most players to sit down during the national anthem. They had 10 of them. Including the first white player in the NFL to kneel during the anthem. And he said that he felt that he needed to kneel because he has a black wife and his mixed-race children. He wants to set a good example for them. So I guess, you know, there's
all
that.
Of that is cucking in the extreme, by the way. This is what happens when you have a black-dominated sport. White guys that go in there have to genuflect to the blacks to the point that they have a black wife, they have mulatto children, and any black activist cause, they have to be jumping on that bandwagon. Frankly, I'm not sure I'd want my kid to play football nowadays.
Ironically, I don't have a problem with the kneeling for the anthem. I just have a problem why these idiots are doing it. I mean, here you have a bunch of spoiled children, a bunch of insolent grown children,
punks,
and they're protesting
punks.
The oppression of playing a child's game and getting paid tens of millions of dollars to do it, but yet American racism has held them back
and showing
they're
their posteriors.
So stupid. I don't have a problem with the kneeling for the anthem. My thing is, if anybody's going to kneel for the anthem, it should be white males. It should be white Southern males. I mean, you have an actual grievance to want to sit out the national anthem. You live in an occupied state. You live under true oppression. But these people, give me a break, these insolent little brats.
Look, can you imagine the insolence it takes and the colossal ingratitude for a black person to object to the United States of America? They are the most fortunate black people on the face of the earth to be here. And, you know, they slavery is the primary reason they came, but their primary, objective is to denounce slavery. Well, if they denounce slavery, if it were not for it, they'd all be in Africa starving. They wouldn't be making tens of millions of dollars a year playing a child's game. But, you know, what happened with Colin Kaepernick?
Well, yeah, let me tell you very quickly. This is another thing. Of course, he started this whole fad of kneeling because of the oppression of making tens of millions of dollars. Well, he was such a distraction, and his on-the-field efforts were so paltry in comparison to the distraction that he was causing. He got released by the 49ers. And then this week you had a star-studded protest in New York City in front of the NFL headquarters led by people like Susan Sarandon and hundreds of others. They were protesting the fact that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have an NFL contract going into the 2017-2018 season. Again, never mind the fact that he was a huge distraction and would remain a huge distraction now for any team that signed him, and never mind the fact that he wasn't very good at football to begin with. Well, that may have more to do with him not having a contract than anything, but you said you made a very interesting observation with regards to this protest.
Well, it takes you all the way back to the garbage workers strike in Memphis in 1968. There is some incredible perversity in the black population that they think they can politicize all labor management issues. That's why they love government jobs. They can politic for higher wages and better benefits. It's not a matter of negotiation. The boss has no rights. Basically, you apparently vote on whether or not Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. And Colin Kaepernick was mollycoddled at the very beginning of his career. They treated him as if he was the, you know, second coming of, you know, Joe Montana. They were, you know, just incredibly solicitous to him. They gave him the starting quarterback slot, and ESPN and all of these sports writers just couldn't get enough of him, and he just fell flat. He just didn't do the job. And I think he may have done this as a strategy. He decided to make himself controversial so that he would have another weapon in his toolbox to try to bludgeon the NFL into continuing to provide him with one of these high-paying jobs, because, quite frankly, if he doesn't play in the NFL, I think his next best job option is riding shotgun on the neighborhood garbage truck, James.
Tying it back to the garbage worker strike. Tying it back to the garbage worker strike once again. Well, it is true. Don't watch these thugs. Don't spend another Saturday night watching college football or Sunday afternoon watching pro football. Go out and do something with your children. Go out and play a game. Richard Spencer said that this week, and I think he's spot on with that.
Watch your children playing a game. You know, that's the spectator sports you want. You know, let these other people get real jobs. Same thing for Hollywood. Let those spoiled brats in Hollywood and the spoiled brats in the NFL and the NBA go and get real jobs like the rest of us.
And the same is true for the NBA as well. I mean, you've got DeMarcus Cousins, who is, I'm sure, got an IQ hovering about 75-80, and he was one of these one-and-done phenoms for John Calipari. John Calipari specializes in bringing in these street rats that come in, play a year, and then they
hood
go
rats,
to the NFL.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we need to get rid of all the Confederate monuments. No, what we need to do is get rid of the NBA.
Yeah, right, and make you get a job. And you'll be riding shotgun on the neighborhood garbage truck, like I said. That will be your best job option.
Well, there you have it. Again, we hear the grievances. We never hear any gratitude. Where's the thanks? Have you ever been to an NFL game? Have you ever been to an NBA game? Do you know the ratio of white fans, white ticket-buying fans, ticket-paying fans versus black? You go to any NBA game, even in majority black cities, it's 90-95% white fan
and
base.
And these protests basically are shooting the bird at those white fans. They're saying, we hate you. We know that our extravagant salaries are due to your paying for tickets and your devotion to our sport. But you know what? We hate you for it. And if you're dumb enough to support people that hate you and are making all this money for you, heaven help you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our featured guest of the night, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, my friend and yours. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, folks, we're waiting to get to Virginia Abernathy back on the horn. We had her just a second ago and lost her. Our producer's working on reclaiming Virginia. But just to give you a little background about her, Virginia Abernathy is Professor Emerita of Psychiatry and Anthropology at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. She's published research and several books on population demography and immigration. Her latest book is titled The Vanishing American Dream: Immigration, Population, Debt, Scarcity. This has been her work, Keith. This has been her life's contribution to society, and few have done it better. She has written so many scholarly books on this topic, and this one may in fact be her best yet. My association with Virginia Abernathy goes all the way back to the Buchanan campaign in 2000, so that would mean that I have known her for just about 20 years, and I know just about everybody.
She's been a loyal soldier for a long time, longer than anyone else, basically, that I know, with the exception of Pat Buchanan.
That's right. And anyway, her biography is just very impressive.
Vanderbilt's an unusual place, too. You know, they have Jonathan Farley, that black math professor that said that America missed its great opportunity when it didn't decree that all Confederate soldiers were traitors and had them summarily executed. Then on the other hand, you have Carol Swain, this black conservative,
that's
who
right.
is fairly good.
No, she's very good.
And then on the other hand, you have the best of them all, Elizabeth Abernathy, who, I mean, has been alt-right before alt-right was cool or even thought of. And she has been out there on the front line and has penetrating analysis that she's been offering now for decades. How long has she been in the fight?
Well, she was born in Cuba, if you can believe it, in 1934. So she's been in it. She's been in it quite a while.
I think she was involved even back in the '60s. You know, I stand to be corrected on that, but I think she's been around as long as
there's a record. That's for sure. And just to give you a little more about her background, she's an anthropologist, I guess you could say. Now emeritus professor at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, which is basically the Ivy League of the South. She earned her bachelor's from Wellesley College, her master's from Vanderbilt University, and her PhD from, of all places, Harvard. Now, let me tell you, if everybody that came out of Harvard was as right-thinking as Dr. Virginia Abernathy.
And Harvard would really deserve its inflated reputation.
Well, and we have her now. Dr. Abernathy, we have given you a wonderful introduction, well, to the best of our ability, an introduction deserving of you, my friend. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be on, and I'm sure you did well. The phone went off for a minute, but you have my mobile phone as backup.
Okay, we'll let you listen to that intro in the archive. You can tell us
we'll
if it's
do
worthy.
It.
Okay, well, let's talk about your most recent book. We talked about some of your previous works, The Vanishing American Dream, Immigration, Population, Debt, Scarcity. If I understand correctly, this is a collection of articles representative of your 30 years of opposing mass immigration. Tell us how the book came about and what its contents include.
Oh, the publisher I've been with before wanted a collection of what I'd done, and so I pulled it together. Some of the articles that I liked the best, and some of them I had to abbreviate a little bit. And I hope it represents the difficulties that have come to the United States because of mass immigration, and we could go on each of those words. Immigration, population, debt, and scarcity, and elaborate for the whole half hour. But really, what immigration has done to us, to a whole lot of people, it's depressed wages, it's actually displaced Americans from jobs, and for a whole lot of others that are just suffering because of not knowing what has happened to our culture, and going to many parts of the country and finding out that even in English, they're not quite understood. It's a foreign country to them. But worse than that, there's the whole idea of multiculturalism being something we should accept and welcome. And I don't think that's correct. I think every country is entitled to its own tradition and history, and that it should honor that. And what has happened with this very large number of people who do not share our history, they question it. They make it feel that we are not legitimate in asking for our own history and our own traditions.
Professor Abernathy, this is Keith Alexander. I'm a co-host with James on this show. They do that because they are encouraged to do that by our elites, and our elites are liberals. And
I think that there's been a very, very strong push for mass immigration from the left. Now, we could also get into what the right has done to encourage mass immigration, but let's talk about what the left has done. They are for multiculturalism. They are for what is politically correct. They are for affirmative action. They're for putting everyone above Americans, native-born Americans.
Well, particularly white males and white females to a lesser extent. But, you know, we were pointing out that every liberal initiative that has come down the pipe from public school integration onward has had these one common thread that runs through all of it, which is the reduction of white birth rates. And now, since they have manufactured our reduced birth rates, they say that we need to correct that situation and have workers by opening the floodgates to third worlders, which of course would destroy our national culture and further debase the prospects in life of whites generally. Do you agree?
I guess you killed her, Keith. I think we're having some phone difficulties with Dr. Abernathy tonight on a cell phone. We'll wait for her to be recalled here as we head into the next break. And if we need to, we had her scheduled for two segments. We may extend her to the
third,
to the end of the hour before we get into the third and final hour. We'll shift gears one more time, and we may switch to a landline. We'll work on her during the commercial break. But this is the topic of the left's favor of mass immigration. And she, of course, talks about, in this book, what you just mentioned, Keith, large streams of newcomers promoting multiculturalism, which at the same time undermines the traditional culture of America. And as we talk about quite often, a very common sense observation, groups with different beliefs, different heroes, different cultures, different languages, different religions, all things different, cannot occupy the same living space without conflict. And that's what this book's talking about.
See, that it reminds me of Ann Coulter's famous comment, where has multiculturalism and multiracialism ever existed where it was not a massive problem? And we're supposed to accept it as some unalloyed blessing. And, of course, it's anything but that. And, of course, Professor Abernathy knows that as well as anybody.
And I'm not sure if she caught the tail end of your question, but we could repose it to her. I'm sure she'll be in agreement, obviously. And we can do that when we get her back on the line. We'll have to wait till the top of the next segment. But there's many more aspects of this book that I want to cover with her when we get reconnected. And hopefully this connection will be a lasting one, at least till the end of the hour. And we'll see what she has to say. But again, the name of the book is The Vanishing American Dream, Immigration, Population, Debt, Scarcity by Dr. Virginia Abernathy, Emeritus Professor of Anthropology and Psychiatry at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Very prestigious. And she still holds an office there. She still holds an office at Vanderbilt. Very beautiful campus. Dr. Abernathy, we apologize for the difficulty in our connection. We're coming up on a break, so if you can sit tight. And if you don't mind, since we've had a little bit of difficulty this segment, perhaps we could keep you a few more minutes than we had intended so we can make good use of your appearance. We'll be right back with you right after this. Everybody, stay tuned. Dr. Virginia Abernathy returns when we do in just 3 minutes of time.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The communist Chinese government says it's hopping mad over the sanctions the administration has placed on some individuals and businesses in China that continue to do business with North Korea. China was one of the 15 countries on the United Nations Security Council that joined to impose economic sanctions on North Korea. It appears now the Chinese want the sanctions to be obeyed by people and businesses in other countries. This has been typical of China's actions in the past. It has propped up North Korea for decades. We'll just have to see what happens. Canadians have seen a big increase in immigration into that country, immigration from the United States during the first part of this year. Many of them are from Central American countries, including Haiti, who had entered the U.S. illegally and are trying to escape President Trump. The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he welcomes immigrants with open arms. Some Canadians are not so enthusiastic. This is particularly true in French-speaking Quebec. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, every now and then live radio can throw you a curveball. Our job is to adapt, adjust, and work around it, and that's what we're going to do. So we're going to push reset on this interview with our good friend, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. And you're still going to get the great interview you tuned in to hear. She's going to be with us for the remainder of the hour. We extended her time to make up for the problem with the connection of the last segment. So back to the book, Dr. Abernathy, The Vanishing American Dream, Immigration, Population, Debt, Scarcity. Some of the contents of this book show how the mass media, following misinformation provided by the U.S. Census Bureau, underestimate the annual numbers of immigrants, the rapidity of the U.S. population growth, and the unsustainability of this growth from environmental, cultural, and financial perspectives. Elaborate on that, if you would.
Yes, well, the Census Bureau likes to say that we're having a population growth of about 3 million a year. But then when they do the census, they have to revise it upwards by 10 or 12 million, which shows that they are underestimating the annual increase. Now, where does that increase come from? It is not because Americans are having such large families. No, certainly not. It is mainly from immigration. Legal and illegal immigration are adding about 90% of our annual population growth. So gradually that's changing the demography of the United States. So that we traditional, and since you mentioned white, I will also, white Americans are right at the tipping point, about 50% of the population. And since the children recently born tend to be more children of immigrants, they are not our children. They are largely Hispanic children and from other immigrant groups. And so our 50-55% of the population is going to dip below half in no time at all, really. Perhaps not in my lifetime, which is still going to be kind of short, but in your lifetime, James, you will see white Americans become less than 50% of the population. Now, that compare that to being 90% of the population back in 1960. That's, 50, 60 years ago. So there has been a concerted effort to change this country from its traditional demography, and that means its traditional culture as well. And it's pretty well succeeded. I'd say we are on the tipping point. We have to stop mass immigration. Now, the goal that I have and that a number of organizations have is to allow immigration, but immigration that would result in a stable, non-growing population of about 100,000 or 150,000 a year compared to the million and a half of legal immigrants, refugees, and so forth that we get each year now. So that will be a big, big change of law that has to be enacted by Congress. Now, whether they can do it or not with President Trump's leadership, we don't know. They haven't done so well so far. But 150,000 a year would allow our population to stabilize pretty much where it is right now.
Well, of course, Professor Abernathy, this is Keith Alexander again. There are a lot of people on the right that say, let's have a moratorium altogether on immigration.
When we say moratorium, some of the national groups that I've been affiliated with for 30 years or more, we are talking about a net zero population growth from immigration, because about 100,000 or 150,000 people leave here annually. So we could bring in that number, and it would be net zero. Over.
Okay. A big problem, though, is that a lot of our elites want to bring in, and even President Trump has said, let's bring in these educated people. Well, I'm not in favor of seeing Americans generally, and white Americans in particular, done out of high-paying jobs as engineers and as computer tech people by foreigners. We need to. One of the reasons we have such a low white birth rate is that prospects for employment of white males has really been decimated by things like the offshoring of our manufacturing sector and affirmative action, because white males just aren't wanted, for example, at selective colleges and universities like Vanderbilt University. I can tell you a personal story about that someday when you've got more time. But anyway, you know, I think that what you're proposing is a minimal type of corrective for what is happening because of immigration. And when we have immigration like this, you know, that I think it's very important, and Trump is correct in focusing on this, because once those changes are made, once we become a minority in our own land, there's no turning back. It's just, you know, it's going to be bad.
Well, you're so right, because our traditional culture has included tolerance for free speech, which means that I'll fight for your right to say it, even if I don't agree with it. But tolerance is not something which is being accepted by the left. We have found that out in the last 6 or 8 months. They will not tolerate speech by people who do not agree with them. So if we want to continue free speech, we have also got to continue our culture, and that means continuing our people. We are the ones who have brought free speech to the United States, and I think we're the ones who are going to have to protect it if it's going to be protected. So I'm
one of our watch phrases at this show, Professor Abernathy, is that you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And
I think you've stated it very well, very well. So long as our immigration was European, we pretty much shared the culture, or at least they could quickly appreciate and learn what was here, what they were joining. But it has changed. The flow of immigration is very, very small proportion of European and a very large proportion of what you're calling third world countries, and you're essentially correct. So we are better off to aim for the number I mentioned, or I certainly wouldn't dispute zero, but I think politically zero is a harder number than to say we want the same number entering as voluntarily leave. And as I said, that voluntary departure is in the neighborhood of 100,000 or 150,000 a year. But we have to do it for reasons that everybody in the country supports, even if they tend towards left and democratic, because we've got to do it to protect our environment. We have water shortages in many parts of the country. We're using up our topsoil, where there used to be 12 feet of beautiful topsoil in Iowa. You can look at the old tree stumps to see that they've eroded down to their deep roots. The topsoil is going fast. The water is not adequate, and we're depleting our aquifers, which took thousands, if not millions of years to fill, and they are dropping by as much as 10 feet a year in the great Ogallala Aquifer. So we've got, we're using up our resources. For this reason, we have to stop growing the population. We must stop. And mass immigration is accounting for up to 90% of that growth. Got to stop. And we have to stop it on every grounds we can. Being fair to Americans who are here already, actually Americans of all races, including established immigrants. But we have to stop it to be fair to people who are here now. We have to stop it to protect our environment. And we have to stop it to protect taxpayers who are supporting this mass immigration. It's overwhelmingly immigrants who are tapping the welfare rolls. And the estimates now, and we hope to have better estimates, but this comes from Robert Rector of the American Enterprise Institute. And
Dr. Abernathy, I'm the last person wants to interrupt you, but we're coming up on a break. I'm glad we have you for one more segment because I have a few more questions, and I certainly want to get you to plug your contact information, how people can get the book. So let's hang on. We'll bring you back right after this.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7777.
6397.
Well, I promise you a great interview, and I knew it had to be great when we had Virginia booked for tonight, and she really hit a stride that last segment. And I mentioned our friendship that now spans nearly 20 years, and her work over the course of the last 30 years on the issues she's here to talk about tonight, immigration, population, carrying capacity, demography replacement, et cetera, so important. And so often when we talk about the ill effects of mass immigration, especially illegal immigration from the third world, we talk about the demographic displacement of the traditional founding
stock
of this country. But I'm really glad that Dr. Abernathy put forth in the last segment the negative and adverse effects it has on our environment as well. And that's something that shouldn't be discounted. And, of course, she doesn't at all in this new book, The Vanishing American Dream.
But I do doubt that it will have much effect on the left, because their primary mission is now, as always, the destruction of the white race, and they won't let anything like the environment get in the way of that.
Well, probably not. But anyway, Dr. Abernathy, you write also that, as I guess the audience of this program would know well, that mass immigration depresses the wages of American citizens. You dive into this topic a little bit, in that some elements of the public support mass immigration specifically because it does result in lower wages, fewer benefits, and a more docile labor force.
Business roundtable, in other words.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, you've described it very well, and it is the business roundtable. It's the Chamber of Commerce. It's sometimes even NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, so that I don't even think that Bob Corker, who's the senator from Tennessee, one of them, is on our side all the time. He certainly needs an education on how mass immigration is hurting 80% of Americans. I have been hearing recently that 70 to 80% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. That is outrageous. It is not the way it used to be. And now we're talking even about families where women as well as men work to keep the family together. Back 50 years ago, you know, one man's wage was sufficient to support the family well. If a woman worked,
the family wage movement,
particular calling. I beg your pardon?
I said they used to call it back in the 19th century the family wage movement. They wanted men to be able to make enough money so that their children and their wives didn't have to work.
Yes, that is right. They thought that a woman would be could be a good mother if she was home to do it. Now, I'm a feminist enough, James, sorry to tell you this. I was in the 1960s, I go back that far, because I knew that lots of women did want to work and they didn't have the opportunity. They have changed now from not having the opportunity to actually being forced to get into the labor force in order to support the family. So a lot of choice has disappeared. And,
and furthermore, they have better job prospects than the men, which leads to marital instability. A lot of women, quite frankly, don't respect a man that makes less money than they do, and they get preferences with affirmative action that are denied men, white men in particular.
They do get preferences, and white men are having a terrible time, and affirmative action is a terrible, terrible policy. Terrible. And I do hope that the courts can begin to move away from that, because it is discrimination. It is discriminating against white men, and that is not the American way. That is just frightful. So long as we have an increasingly large minority population, they're going to continue to, some of them, I don't say all because they're some wonderful people, but some of them will continue to demand preferences, and they will continue to demand it, and with more political clout, even as they become the majority and whites are the minority.
I've always said this, Professor Abernathy, when whites become a minority in America, from that moment forward, minority rights will become a thing of the past.
Well, it will then be majority rights, because I don't think for 1 minute those people who have benefited from tolerance, from affirmative action and so forth, will be so generous when another group is the minority. So I think I agree with what you said, yes.
Let me ask you this, Virginia, before we run out of time this hour, and I appreciate you spending so much of your Saturday night with us, as I always do when you're on the show. But I want to ask you one more question, and then I want to get you to plug your contact information and where people can buy the book, of course. There is no radical egalitarian movement that has come in the last 100 years in this country that has been met with public approval, yet they always seem to get ramrodded through. And this situation with illegal immigration is just another example. You write that the vast majority of patriotic Americans certainly recognize and agree with us that the welfare of average people depends upon stopping mass immigration, protecting our culture, including the English language, and unifying us as a country.
Why are we so feckless?
Well, it's true that the majority agrees with us, but how do we parlay that majority approval into something that's actually going to help succeed us in terms of politics or action taken by the administration?
Well, I suppose we have to go congressman by congressman. And in my mind, that often means fighting at the primary level, because as we know, James and Keith, a lot of seats seem to be safe for either Democrats or Republicans. And at these safe seats, you've got to do your fight at the primary. And I think Arizona is a perfect place where Jeff Flake, who is a flake, he's a Republican, but he's never met a Democratic policy, including mass immigration, that he didn't like. And the fight there is going to be who wins the Republican primary. And there are lots of seats like that around the country.
Professor Abernathy, let me say this, too. As Tennesseans, we have a rare opportunity with President Trump to redistrict our two Democratic congressmen, Steve Cohen and Jim Cooper, out of office by just replicating the American flag, have nine congressional districts that go from the eastern boundary to the western boundary. And if you did that, I don't think either Cooper or Cohen could be reelected.
Well, yes, you're talking about redistricting. And that's an avenue I don't know very much about.
I think we're up for redistricting.
I think 2018 is a redistricting. We're up for redistricting again, and that would be a, you know, hopefully we've got somebody that has enough intestinal fortitude and spine to actually do to the liberals and the Democrats what they would certainly do to us were the shoe on the other foot.
Well, I got to get this in before we run out of time. Folks, this dear lady's biography is just incredible. Virginia Abernathy, we've mentioned it two or three times already, but we'll say it one more time. Professor Emerita of Psychiatry and Anthropology, Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, PhD from Harvard. She's our guest tonight, and she is a right-thinking hell of a lady and a good friend of mine for many, many years. Virginia, where can people learn more about your career, a career spent fighting for the good guys, and most importantly, for the sake of this interview, where can they get your new book?
Well, I don't know of any place where you can find out good things about me, but you can find out all the bad things by going to Wikipedia.
those are the good things in our viewpoint.
Yeah, we just translate it.
And Wikipedia has some pretty snide remarks to make about me. And, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center put me on their list of 30 most dangerous people. I like to talk about that. They're such idiots at Southern Poverty Law Center. And still, you know, they do say that there's no publicity that's bad publicity. So I'll take it.
You may be the only person from Harvard on that list. I think there's a pretty good chance of that. The book, how do people get the new book, The Vanishing American Dream, Immigration, Population,
Scarcity? Well, they can get that from Amazon. They can get it from Amazon or, of course, from the publisher, Transactions Publications. And then anytime I speak at a conference or something, I take copies with me for sale, and but Amazon is the go-to place, I suppose.
Let's just hold our breath that they don't shut you out like they have some of our other right-wing figures. But
well,
you know,
PayPal has certainly done that to some people.
That's
PayPal.
Right. Well, that's a whole other topic. Yeah, it's the shutting, as they call it, is happening, and a lot of people have been erased from the internet completely. Their websites all gone.
It's like Orwellian almost.
Well, well, we have great allies in great places, and I know Dr. Abernathy, you still maintain an office there at Vanderbilt, where both of my paternal grandparents went for cancer treatment. It is a fine campus, and. Very venerable.
Well, they have been very good to me in giving me an emeritus professorship, and I do get office space, and I can only thank them for it.
Well, that thanks is extended from us as well. Virginia, great to have you with you as great to have you with us as always. We look forward to the next time already.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a good evening and lots of luck.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again soon. Folks, third hour coming up next. Another Eddie the Bombardier Miller just walked to the studio. He's taking the mic from Keith. Stay tuned.
Away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.